Black objects like stones fall onto a grey surface and burst like powdered pigment. A stenciled caption, automatic. The letters are blown away. Wisps of smoke drift around in blackness, an automatic Odd Fellows Entertainment and Colony Pictures production. A Jeff Chan film.
Mary, I need you to push.
A doctor attends to a young woman as she gives birth. Alexia Fast.
Come on, Mary, don't do this to yourself. Let's push now. Come on.
I won't have this child.
Her mother and a priest are present. Lynn Shay, a nurse, assists the doctor.
Please, God.
The young woman, Mary, looks at her mother desperately. Alan Dale. Mary's body twitches and she stares wide-eyed in terror. Rapid images. A house at night. Spectral figures. Hands open a box. A hand around Mary's shoulder. Alexis Knapp. Mary stares at something with increasing horror. Her heartbeat slows. Brett Deer. Mary slips out of consciousness.
She's bursting!
We need to get the baby out now. Prep for emergency C-section.
Mom, I need to step back.
A nurse administers CPR.
Please.
What are we doing on the mother then?
No improvement.
Please, God, please help her. She is only 18.
Okay, got the head. Stand by on paddles.
The doctor uses defibrillator paddles. The priest blesses Mary.
I absolve you from your sins.
Clear.
Mary's mother watches grief-stricken.
Father.
Again?
Son. Clear. Of the Holy Spirit.
Mary's mother holds the newborn baby.
By the grace of God.
The screen cuts to white. 18 years later. A lush green forest with a river winding through it. Written by Joel David Moore and Clark Peters. Casting by Nancy Nayer, CSA, and Andy Henry, CSA. Canadian casting by Cara Eade and Chris Voznesensky. Music supervisor Laura Katz. Music by Joseph Bishara. Costume designer Mila Franovich. Production designer Walter Barnett. Editor Gregory Ng. Camera operators Anna McDonald, Alexia Fast. Director of photography Norm Lee, CSC. Line producer, Oliver Lindsley. Executive producers, Stuart Ford, Jeff Chan. Produced by Brian Kavanagh-Jones, Chris Ferguson. Story by Jeff Chan and Chris Pare and Peter Huang. Screenplay by Jeff Chan and Chris Pare. Directed by Jeff Chan. Set amongst the lush forest landscape is a university campus. Traditional red brick buildings stand beside modern concrete blocks. Students come and go along paths flanked by neat lawns. Mature trees line two wide paths with a lawn between them. A banner reads, Frosh Week. A crest bears the legend, MSU, Middleton State University. Students arrive with their luggage. Some students wear orange t-shirts with Frosh Week printed on the back. A guy smiles as he wheels along a large bin with a box in it. In a quad surrounded by dorm buildings, a couple of girls have a box and a wheelie case. Mary's child is now a beautiful 18-year-old girl, Grace. She has long blonde hair cascading over her shoulders, and she wears a light purple flower-patterned summer dress. Dragging a wheelie case and with a bag on her shoulder and a pillow under her arm, she stares at a piece of paper. She stops in the middle of the quad, her brow pinched in thought. Grace walks towards the entrance of the red brick building. A sign above the doors reads, Ferguson Hall. Inside, she struggles with her luggage up two flights of stairs. Students walk down past her. Grace heads along a corridor where several students are hanging out. Grace checks room numbers as she goes. A couple of guys jostle each other and bump into her.
What's it start?
As she picks up her pillow, which she dropped, Grace sees a mother and daughter embrace. She frowns fretfully and shuts her eyes for a moment. As she walks on, she relaxes and smiles. She looks at a number plaque on the wall and peers into a dorm room. She walks in. The right-hand bed is bare. On the left, someone has already moved in.
Excuse me.
Grace plonks her pillow, her bag, and her suitcase on the bed. She unzips her suitcase and flips it open. She takes out a towel and puts it to one side. On top of her clothes is a thick black book. Embossed gold letters on the cover read, Holy Bible. Grace picks up the Bible in both hands and slowly raises it to eye level, staring at the cover. The back of her thick blonde hair is ruffled by some kind of turbulence. Indistinct, blurry shapes swirl through blackness. The shapes sharpen and become bold white letters. Grace. Everything is now from Grace's point of view.
Bless you.
Thanks.
What's up, Jessica?
Grace.
Nice to meet you, Rumi.
You too. Mm.
Jessica drinks from a bottle and winces.
What's in the bottle?
A little water, a little vodka. Mostly vodka. Want a swig?
No thanks.
Suit yourself.
Wearing short shorts and a black top which reveals her leopard print bra, brunette Jessica lies on her bed. Grace looks at her phone. Incoming call. Home. Standing at a full-length mirror, she answers the call.
Hello?
Grace frowns.
Grandma?
Did you find your Bible? I had to pack it for you.
I was going to. I forgot.
Grace, you need to keep God in your life. That place is full of sin and sex.
It's not like that. If you came here, you would see.
I know exactly what it's like. Are you trying to hurt me? Is that why you left?
No. It's just I had to move out eventually.
That's exactly how it started with your mother. You are becoming more like her every single day. Do you know that?
I have made up my mind.
Oh, sorry.
Jessica gets a drink.
What was that?
It's just my roommate. I should go.
No. We pray first.
Grace stares at her reflection, frowning.
Grace, I pray, Lord
that
you
enlighten
my
mind,
purify
my
heart,
and
sanctify
my
soul.
Amen.
Don't forget to pray.
Looking despondent, Grace hangs up and closes her phone.
So, all that praying and shit. What are you, like, super religious?
I suppose so.
Well, teach their own.
Jessica picks up her bottle and heads out.
Where are you going?
Jessica holds up her bottle.
Wherever this takes me.
With a smile, she walks off. Grace looks down at the floor for a moment. She blinks and steps out into the corridor.
Oh, hey, wait!
Outside.
So, was that your mom on the phone earlier?
No, I live with my grandma.
Oh, why was she being such a tight ass?
I don't know.
What, Mark?
Jessica?
What's up, dude?
Oh, my God, how
are you doing? Long time.
I didn't know you'd go to MSU.
Yeah, man, of course.
This is my roommate, Michael.
Hey, Jessica. This is my new roommate, Grace.
Hey.
Grace? Oh.
Yeah.
What's up, Grace?
Hi, Grace.
Hi.
Michael.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Isn't this campus amazing?
Yeah.
So, what are you and your friend up to later tonight?
I don't know.
Think about South Delta? They're having this sick Angels and Demons party. It's gonna be so sweet. Personally, I think you make a pretty sexy demon.
Grace follows them.
So I've just been wondering if you prefer like a she. Yeah,
where is it?
Yo, check this out.
Get in here.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let's do it.
All you guys. All
right.
You want to go?
Yeah.
We need one more person.
A tug of war.
One more. You.
Me?
Come on in here. Come on.
No, it's okay.
You're going to do awesome.
What?
You're going to do awesome.
Okay.
Here you go. I'm ready. You ready?
I don't know.
All right.
What do I do?
Just tug as hard as you possibly can. Tug.
Okay.
Ready?
No!
Grace is at the end of the rope.
Come on!
Behind the muscular guy who approached her, Grace pulls the rope with all her might.
Oh, come on, guys! This is not... Oh!
They lose their grip.
Boom! That did not work.
Grace fell over.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm Brad, by the way.
Hi, I'm Grace.
Nice to meet you. Beer pong? Did I hear beer pong? Yeah. Do you want to play beer pong?
Beer pong?
Come on, let's get close.
No, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Trust me, it's not really her thing, but I'll be your teammate.
Okay. All right. Well, really nice to meet you, Grace. Hope to see you around.
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't want to come?
No, it's fine.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I...
Get your towel, bro.
What's vodka?
Left alone, Grace stands staring at the ground and tugging at the hem of her dress. In the communal bathroom, Grace runs water into her hands and rinses her face. She looks at her reflection. She's wearing an old-fashioned white cotton nightdress. She dries her face with a towel and pulls her hair back with her hand. Grace tugs at the hem of her nightdress. She sees a lipstick by the sink and picks it up. She takes the top off and extends the deep maroon lipstick. Grace stares at her reflection for a moment, then applies it to her full lips. Grace presses her lips together and smiles pleased. She applies more lipstick. Her eyes go black for a moment and she draws the red lipstick across her cheek. Three girls stagger in and one of them pukes in the toilet. Troubled, Grace drops the lipstick in the sink. There's no longer any on her lips. Grace hurries along the corridor, which is littered with streamers and party detritus. She goes to her room and hurries inside. Jessica's not there. Grace quickly gets her Bible from the bedside table, stares at it, and runs her thumb across the cover. She lies down on her bed.
Bless me with your infinite graces so that I may remain pure and protect my soul in its daily struggles. Defend me from the forces of evil, and I am yours forever and ever. Amen.
The digital clock by the bed reads 11:38. Grace's eyelids flutter and close. She drops the Bible. Grace's eyes flicker open. It's 12 o'clock. In the opposite bed, Jessica sleeps sprawled in her underwear. In the half-light, Grace leans up on the bed. She reaches over the side to pick her Bible up off the floor.
What?
Grace grabs the open Bible and slowly lifts it. Suddenly, a surgeon stabs her stomach with a scalpel. The lights come on and Jessica wakes her.
Oh, shit! Wake up,
dude!
What's wrong with you? Sorry.
Jessica steps away.
Jesus! Freaked me out! What were you dreaming about?
She drinks and spits.
God damn it.
The clock flashes 12:01.
What time is it?
10:30?
Grace springs up.
No. Why didn't my alarm go off?
I don't know.
Grace grabs clothes.
How'd you get that?
What?
She points at a large scar on Grace's belly.
I don't... No, I'm late for class. I gotta go.
Grace grabs a flower-patterned dress and throws it on. Carrying a file, Grace hurries across a courtyard and up some steps. She enters a grand stone building and walks into a packed lecture hall. At the front, a professor stands in front of a screen displaying the caption, Reproductive Biology, Sexual Evolution. The professor looks at his watch.
Well, so nice of you to fit us into your busy schedule.
Sorry.
Have a seat.
Students stare at Grace. The handsome, muscle-bound guy from the tug-of-war, Brad, removes his bag from the empty seat next to him, and Grace makes her way to it.
Take your time.
Grace sits. Brad writes a note for her. What are you up to after class? She writes, another class. And Brad smiles.
Now, we were talking about love. Hi. It seems to me that an awful lot of you really believe it. Well, I hate to break it to you, especially the ladies, but love is merely a byproduct of evolution. And over the course of this term, we'll be learning about how all of our behaviors, when it comes to sex, cheating, jealousy, monogamy, are all motivated by simple biology. And we'll get into that over the course of this term.
Later, Grace plays frisbee with Brad, Jessica, and some others. Grace catches the frisbee.
Yes!
Oh my God, you did it! That is awesome!
Good job!
Hey,
nice shot! Dickhead!
Oh, that real quick.
Brad slings Jessica over his shoulder. They sit and pass a joint around.
You are so disgusting.
How is disgusting? Next thing you'll be telling me you don't watch porn.
Yeah, dude, of course I watch porn. Yeah, I masturbate, but you hitting yourself in the face with your own spunk, I don't need to hear that. It's not disgusting. You're disgusting.
I'm wounded. Thank you.
I don't masturbate like once a week. I get kind of anxious.
Once a week?
I'm okay.
Try twice a day.
Sure. That does not surprise me. What about you, Grace?
What?
How often do you, it's gonna come out eventually.
Jessica smiles knowingly.
I don't really do that.
We just don't want to talk about it, guys. We should drop it.
Like, ever?
The guy, Joel, smiles incredulously.
Yo, are you a virgin?
Dude, come on. Don't say that shit.
No, I'm just asking. It's a legitimate question.
Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
No, Grace.
Oh, Grace,
no,
Grace.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I just have to go to class.
It doesn't matter.
I'll see you guys.
Sorry.
Grace gets up and walks away. Grace sits cross-legged on her bed and leafs through a textbook. She folds the corner of a page over beside a diagram and closes the book. The title, Science, a First Course in Systems. She shoves the book aside and brings her laptop computer closer. Grace types masturbation into a search engine and looks at a list of results. She selects one of them, getting hands-on with solo sex. Suddenly, a selection of pornographic websites pops up on the screen. Grace frantically tries to shut them down. Grace slams her laptop shut. She picks up her phone and looks at a text message from Brad. Sorry about earlier. Come to our party tonight. I won't have any fun without you. Smiley face. Grace closes her phone without replying and grasps the hem of her dress. She runs her thumb and fingers over the flowery material. She looks over at Jessica's side of the room. It's a mess with clothes strewn around. Grace walks over. She picks up a pink, figure-hugging top with a zip down the front and regards it. Later, she walks up to a large house where a party's in full swing. Brad comes over to her.
Grace, you made it.
Brad.
Nice to see you. How are you?
Hey.
So glad you made it.
He hugs her politely.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
No, I'm fine.
You look great, by the way. And I've had a lot of these. You need to catch up. So
okay.
I'm taking this. Can I take this?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Okay. Here you go.
Thanks.
He gives her a bottle of beer and raises his.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They both drink.
You okay?
Yeah. It kind of tastes like hay.
What? I thought all you small town kids like drink your faces off, got shit face. No.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, I'm freezing my balls off out here.
Yeah, it's pretty cold. Do you want to head inside?
Sure.
Yeah. Follow me. Let's go inside.
Okay.
Nice outfit.
Thanks.
Grace follows them.
I hope it's okay. I borrowed some of your stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
Anytime. Okay.
Wearing a tight, backless mini-dress, Jessica doesn't look too pleased. They join Brad at the front door of the house.
Okay, so it's pretty insane in there, so just follow me and it'll all be good.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it!
Woo! Brad leads them into the party. Various rooms lit with multicolored lights are full of kids enjoying themselves. Brad high-fives a buddy as he passes him. Brad walks backwards and pumps his arms to the music. Grace follows. They pass kids playing beer pong, throwing ping pong balls at cups of booze.
You into this kind of music?
Yeah.
Yeah? Here. I'm only getting lost.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Brad leads her through the kitchen.
Got a train going on or something. Nice.
I don't know. Whatever.
Cheers. Watch your step.
Okay.
Holding Grace's hand, Brad leads her down into the crowded basement.
Watch your head here, too.
Okay.
Joel, where are you?
Hey, you.
There you are.
Come get liquor in your system.
Okay. That guy just threw up.
At the bar, Joel pulls shots.
Okay. Me, you...
Whoa. If you didn't like the beer, you're definitely not gonna like that. That is powerful shit. It's like gasoline.
No,
I can try it. Seriously.
Hey, atta girl.
Okay, all right.
Bottoms up. Huh?
Cheers.
The three of them down their shots.
I spilled on my chest. Are you okay?
You all right?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Four. Round two.
Grace sees Jessica glaring at her.
Aim is so pro. Round two.
Round two.
Okay.
Cheers.
They drink another shot.
Oh, I love the poison.
Jessica's gone.
Don't worry, we're going to turn you into one of us in no time.
One of us.
Yes. I just have to go to the bathroom. Can you wait here?
No. Sure. Yes, we can.
Thanks.
Grace walks off.
Hey, Grace.
Hi.
I just want to say that I'm really glad you came, and I'm just happy to have you here.
Thanks. Me too.
All right. Cool.
Grace woozily walks upstairs and through the kitchen where everyone's drinking booze. Grace approaches a guy and a girl.
Do you know where the bathroom is?
Over there.
Thanks.
Grace finds the bathroom, goes in and shuts the door. She looks down and sees vomit on the toilet seat.
Oh.
Grace leans drunkenly on the sink and looks in the mirror. She's wearing red lipstick and her long hair hangs loose. A smile spreads across her face. Grace tilts her head to one side and checks herself out. She looks pleased and slightly amazed. The smile drains from her face. She stumbles and looks down into the sink. When she looks up again, her face is no longer reflected. She waves her hand in front of her face. She can see it, but there is still no reflection. A diagonal crack appears in the glass of the mirror. The mirror shatters and Grace appears as a demon. Thick blood streams from her mouth and black eyes. She covers her face, then slowly lowers her hands. She is as she was before. Bewildered, she walks out. Grace hurries through a room where people have decorated themselves with neon paint. In glowing bright colors, they jump and gyrate to the music. Grace makes her way through the kitchen and down into the basement. Grace's vision is blurred for a moment. She walks into the basement. Lights hung on the walls lend the room a harsh orange glow.
Brad?
A crowd has gathered watching something. Grace tries to get through.
Excuse me.
Grace pushes through and sees the spectacle that everyone finds so captivating. Beneath a neon no vacancies sign, Brad is lying back on a couch with Jessica straddling him. She writhes about and kisses him, then turns and blows a kiss to Grace. A salacious smile spreads across Jessica's lips. Grace turns and hurries away out of the basement, up the stairs and through the kitchen. A guy with the Greek letters Sigma Phi Delta written across his bare chest swaggers up to Grace. Grace shoves the guy away and hurries upstairs. She pushes through a bead curtain. Grace steps onto a wide balcony. Distraught, she grabs onto the wooden railing and looks down at the long drop.
Grace.
She turns and sees Jessica.
You see how easy that was?
What?
How I can just take him like that.
Why would you do that?
You steal my clothes. You wear my makeup.
I'm sorry.
And for what? You're still a child.
She leans to Grace.
Nobody wants you.
Leave me alone.
Do you even know what it feels like to be touched, little girl? Just like your mother.
How do you know about my mom?
Another worthless?
I'm not like my mother.
Ugly.
Stop talking! Stop it!
Grace pushes Jessica over the railing. Grace walks to the edge and looks down. Jessica lies sprawled on her back on the patio way down below.
Oh my God!
Grace! I've been looking everywhere for you.
Brad comes out.
What's up? What's up?
I didn't mean to do it.
Okay, do what? You're freaking me out a little bit. What are you talking about?
Jessica fell off the roof.
What?
Brad rushes to the edge and looks down, then holds out his hands and turns, mystified, to Grace.
Is this some kind of a joke or something? I don't understand.
What?
There's no...
Grace has a look.
What? There's no one there, Grace.
Jessica isn't there.
But I just saw her there.
Okay, all right.
Jessica comes out.
But
it's really fucked up for you to do, man. Jesus.
All right, which one did I put my weed in?
There she is.
Jessica.
Oh, hey, guys. Well, are you okay? Whoa, Grace, whoa!
Grace's vision blurs. She passes out and falls. Everything goes black. Bright overhead lights shine down. Grace regains consciousness lying in a hospital bed. She holds her hand up and studies it. There's an intravenous tube attached to the back of her hand. A doctor stands at the foot of the bed making notes on a clipboard.
How are you feeling? Any pain?
Grace lowers her hand. She's still in her party clothes.
What happened?
We're still trying to figure that out. You lost consciousness.
Jessica, is she okay?
Who?
The girl that...
The doctor shines a light in Grace's eyes.
Did you take anything? Other than alcohol?
No.
You on any medication?
No.
Has this ever happened to you before?
No.
What about family? Follow me.
What do you mean?
Any history of mental illness?
My mother was on antipsychotics.
What's her condition like now?
She died.
Oh.
Giving birth to me.
And your father?
I never knew him.
I'm sorry.
The doctor sits.
Well, aside from a nasty bump on the head, you appear to be fine. But I should tell you, mental illness is often hereditary. Early diagnosis and treatment are critical. So I recommend you see a psychiatrist as soon as you can. You understand me?
Grace nods.
Yes.
Good.
The doctor smiles, gets up, and walks away.
Wait, is there a phone I can use?
Oh, if you're looking for your ride, we already called your emergency contact.
Oh.
The doctor goes. Grace anxiously tugs at the hem of her skirt. She rides in the car with her grandma, Helen, driving. Windscreen wipers move back and forth across the windscreen as rain falls lightly. A cross hangs from the rearview mirror. They head along a straight country road. Grace turns the radio on.
Coming up next, we have a nasty stretch of weather coming your way. Break out the umbrellas as it is going to be wet.
Grandma Helen turns the radio off.
Did you have sex?
No.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not lying.
And look at me when you answer.
I'm not lying.
Stern-faced, Helen turns to Grace, then looks straight ahead and nods.
But you drank?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry.
Grace fiddles with her skirt.
I think I need to see a doctor.
Oh, Grace. Why?
Because I'm worried I might be sick like Mom was.
Now's not the time for making excuses.
I'm not. The doctor told me
that I...
I don't
care what the doctor told you. Your mother suffered from sickness of the soul. That is not something a doctor can fix.
Helen drives up to an isolated white clapboard house. In front of the house is a smaller building completely covered in ivy.
Pull your skirt down.
Grace pulls at the pink top.
There's a jacket in the back, and I want you to put it on. I don't want them seeing you in that clown suit.
Who?
Grace watches Helen carry a tray of coffee things into the prim, conservatively decorated dining room.
Get in here. Coffee's ready.
Two men in cassocks are sitting at the table, one older and balding, the other a fresh-faced young man.
Come on in, Grace. Don't be rude. Say hello.
To the older priest.
Hello, Father John.
Have a seat.
He looks at Grace sternly, the young man who politely stood up, sits down again.
You look more like your mother every time I see you.
I guess so.
Helen serves the coffee.
I want you to meet the newest member of our congregation. He comes to us from St. James Seminary.
It's good to finally meet you, Grace.
You as well, Father.
I'm still a deacon.
Oh.
But I plan on taking my vow to priesthood very soon. With Father John's approval, of course.
There you go, Father.
Yes. Well, until he's ready, Luke will be assisting me with those who need guidance.
Grace covers her legs with the coat she put on.
Now that you're back, I expect you'll be spending more time with the church.
Well, actually, I'm just gonna be here for a few days, Father, and then I'm gonna go back.
Luke, John, and Helen are stern-faced.
What?
You're not going back.
What?
I pulled you out of school.
Why would you do that?
It's done, Grace.
But...
Another word.
Home is where you need to be right now.
Grace stares at the white embroidered tablecloth. Later, she has a shower and stares down at the bathtub as the water cascades over her. Grace is suddenly plunged into complete darkness. She steps out of the bath and holds onto the sink as she fumbles about in the dark. Grace finds the switch and turns the lights on. She stands facing the bathroom mirror, which is misted over. She wipes mist away with her hand and looks at her face. As she studies herself, she touches the long hair framing her face. The four globe lights above the mirror flicker, and she looks up at them. Grace looks at herself again, and a disturbed frown spreads across her face. She takes a white towel from a hook and opens the bathroom door. Grace wraps the towel around herself and walks along the hallway. Hearing something, she turns and looks at a closed door at the end. Light in the gap at the bottom of the door is broken by the shadow of someone moving.
Hello? Grandma?
She walks right up to the door and listens. The shadows continue to pass back and forth.
Grace!
Grandma.
You know to keep away from there.
Grandma, there's somebody in there.
That's ridiculous. Nobody's been in your mother's room for years.
What?
Go back to your room.
No, but Grandma, I heard somebody in there.
Grace, now!
Grace walks past Helen round the corner.
Grace?
Outside her room, she turns.
You stay away from that room. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Grace goes into her dimly lit room and shuts the door. A cross hangs on the wall above the metal-framed bed, which is covered with white sheets. On either side is a bedside table with a lamp on it. Grace picks her mobile phone up off a chest of drawers and calls Brad. As she waits, she touches a china angel standing on a shelf. The angel is holding baby Jesus.
Hello?
A message on the phone screen reads, "Call ended." Grace stares at her bed. She lies on her side in bed and pulls the covers over herself. She looks at her reflection in an oval mirror on the wall. Her eyes slowly close and everything goes black. Grey mist swirls through the blackness. Then Grace's mother Mary's face, blurred, her mouth wide open in anguish. It recedes into the dark. A bedside lamp comes on. The digital clock reads 3:47. Grace sits up. A lamp on a desk is also lit. On the floor is the china angel, smashed to pieces. Grace pulls back the covers. Grace is wearing a long white nightdress. Sitting on the side of the bed, she slips her feet into her slippers. She goes over to the broken china angel, looks up at the shelf it was standing on, then down at the broken china pieces. Grace squats down. She finds the angel's broken-off head and puts it next to the little china baby Jesus. Grace goes into the bathroom and squats down by the cupboard under the sink. She opens the door and finds a dustpan and brush. Grace turns and through the gap in the door, she sees someone walk past.
Grandma?
Grace walks out into the hall and sees her bedroom door close. Grace slowly walks towards her room, which is round the corner of the upstairs hallway. She looks to her left. The door to Helen's room is open. Grace sees Helen asleep in bed. Grace slowly approaches her closed bedroom door. A lit lamp stands on a table beside it. Grace very slowly reaches for the door handle and turns it. She pushes the door open. Both bedside lamps are on. Grace walks in and looks around. The desk lamp is also on. She looks down at where the broken china angel was. She drops the brush in shock. The angel is complete again and standing upright on the floor. Grace goes and picks up the unbroken angel. She stares at it.
What?
Grace puts the China Angel back on its shelf. Her fingers linger on its surface. She turns the angel's wings to face her. Grace spins round. Someone is on the bed, covered in a white sheet.
Who are you?
Grace approaches and reaches out her hand.
Who are you?
Make him suffer.
The sheet suddenly rises and spreads. Grace flails her arms wildly. Grace frantically pulls the sheet off herself. She's on the other side of the room, and it's daytime. Bright sunlight shines in through the window. Bedclothes lie in a heap on the floor. Grace walks over to the bed. Pillows lie in disarray.
Grace, you better be getting ready in there.
Grace stares at the closed door.
Grace, do you hear me?
Yes.
Grace turns and looks at the China Angel, still in one piece on the shelf. She stands facing a mirror, wearing an open nightdress over her underwear. She presses her hands against her face and wipes them down her cheeks. She pulls the nightdress off. The scar on Grace's abdomen appears more pronounced, a pattern of raised wavy lines. She touches the scar. It's bleeding. Grace looks disturbed and rubs the blood off her finger onto her thigh. She picks up a pale yellow dress with a pattern of little flowers all over it. She holds the dress against herself and looks in the mirror. Grace stares at her reflection with a sorrowful expression. A breeze wafts the net curtain to her left. Wearing the dress, Grace sits in the car as Helen drives through the countryside. Grace has a large tray of cookies on her lap. Grace follows Helen as they walk up to a church. The young deacon, Luke, is chatting to a group of women. Helen looks over her shoulder at Grace.
Do I look all right?
Yeah.
Don't embarrass me today.
I won't.
But you really am just excited to wear the fancy robes.
Grace looks at Luke.
Oh, did Alicia tell you I started with you?
In church, Helen offers the cookies around.
Good morning.
Morning.
A man declines.
Paul. I have your favorite. Chocolate chip cookies.
Paul, who's sitting in a pew, shakes his head. Helen goes over to three women.
Oh, Margaret. Oh, look at you. You look beautiful. Would you care for a sweet?
It's a little too early for cookies, dear.
It's never too early for sweetness.
The women give Helen frosty looks. With an embarrassed smile, Helen walks on. Grace follows with the cookies.
Where should I put these?
Helen clasps her neck.
Grandma? Is everything okay?
Helen spins round.
Give me those.
She grabs the cookies and walks out the door. Father John takes the sermon.
Let temptation into your heart, and the devil will destroy it.
He wears fine cream vestments.
We all feel it, every day. Satan's grasp, calling us, asking us to betray God for earthly pleasures. The Bible teaches us to reject this call, to ignore this temptation. But who among us is without sin?
Grace looks at Luke sitting at the front. She scratches her abdomen.
It's easy to convince yourself that you're walking the righteous path, that you have remained untainted. But sin is like an open wound. If left alone, it festers, spreads, grows before your very eyes.
Beside Grace, Helen closes her eyes.
That is why we must confront our mistakes. Correct them.
Grace scratches her abdomen repeatedly.
Grace!
Restore the purity of our souls.
Grace rests her hands on her lap.
It is the only way into heaven.
Father John lifts his hands.
Let us pray.
People line up to take communion.
Body of Christ.
Grace is behind Helen.
Body of Christ.
Helen steps up to Luke, who gives her a wafer.
Body of Christ.
Grace steps up to Luke. He looks into her eyes and gives her a wafer.
body of Christ.
She eats the wafer and follows Helen to rows of pews at the side of the church where people are praying. She steadies herself against a partition. Grace becomes increasingly unsteady on her feet and leans against a pew. A woman frowns at Grace as she staggers on. Grace looks into her hand. She's coughed up blood. She slowly and woozily walks on. A grey-haired lady looks at her with concern. Grace coughs blood over the lady's dress and falls onto her hands.
Grace?
Helen runs to Grace and lifts her up by her arm.
You are in church. How dare you? She's so sorry. Out. Out.
She leads her out.
Out.
They sit in the car and Grace clutches at her dress.
I don't know what has gotten into you.
Helen looks at Grace.
Is this because I took you out of school? Is this some sick game you're playing to hurt your grandmother?
No.
Well, then what is the problem?
Exasperated, Helen frowns.
I've been hearing things. There's voices inside my head, and I just... I keep having these nightmares. But they feel so real, and I'm just... I'm scared to fall asleep.
I need to know what happened to my mother.
Don't start, Grace.
I know, but everyone said she went crazy.
I said to drop it.
What if the same thing is happening to me? I need help.
Your mother disobeyed me, ran off, and got pregnant. You do not need help. You need God.
Grace clutches her dress tighter. Wearing a blue nightdress, Grace stands brushing her teeth in front of the bathroom mirror. She looks weary. She stops brushing and frowns with concern. She leans forward and examines her cheeks, pressing her fingertips against them. She slowly resumes brushing her teeth. Her mouth gapes and she slumps forward. She sips water from a glass, swirls it around in her mouth and spits. The water's bloody. Leaning on the sink, Grace twists her open mouth. She reaches in and grabs hold of a tooth. She pulls. Grace has pulled a tooth out. She holds it up and stares at it in horror. Suddenly in the mirror, she sees a figure walk past the open doorway. Wide-eyed, she drops the tooth into the sink. Grace walks out of the bathroom and looks along the hallway to her mother Mary's bedroom. The door creaks open a crack. A wall light and a table lamp suddenly go out. Grace lights a candle with a match. Holding the thick, glowing candle in both hands, Grace walks along the dark hallway. She pushes her mother Mary's bedroom door open and walks in. The room is dark, apart from a small amount of light in two windows with net curtains in front of them. Grace looks around. There's a rocking chair and a table with a baby's changing mat on it. A baby grow hangs on a peg on the wall. Grace turns round and sees an old-fashioned wooden cot. It's rocking from side to side. Grace goes over and stops it rocking with her hand. Grace looks over at a dark door. The doorknob is turning on its own. As it continues to turn back and forth, Grace goes over. She reaches out and grabs it. She turns the knob and yanks the door open. It's a closet. Grace looks at dresses hanging on a rail. Grace looks beneath the clothes and sees a box with Mary written on the lid. She squats down, puts down the candle, slides the box out and opens it. Inside is an assortment of objects. Grace picks up a powder compact and looks at her reflection in the mirror set in the lid. She closes it. She takes out a heart-shaped tin with a dice in it and a feather. She picks up a pill bottle. She reads the label by candlelight. Pharmaceuticals, Mary Hill. Perphenazine. She puts it down. Grace looks at two black and white photographs of beautiful young Mary. Grace picks up a third picture, which has been torn in half. Someone stands next to Mary, with their arm around her, but that side has been removed. Grace runs her fingers along one of the dresses hanging in the closet. Someone suddenly grabs her wrist. Rapid images. Three hooded figures. Mary lying on her back. Grace recoils from the closet. She quickly puts all the things back in the box. She closes the box and blows the candle out. Holding the box, Grace walks out of the room. Down the hall, Helen is standing outside her room with her arms folded.
How did you get in there?
Grace looks at Helen.
The door was open.
No, it wasn't. I told you to stay away from her room.
Grace looks at the floor.
I'm sorry.
Grace walks towards Helen.
What was that?
What?
That noise.
Nothing.
Helen approaches Grace.
What do you have?
Nothing.
What's behind your back?
Nothing.
You show it to me.
Leave me alone.
I'm not going to ask you again. Grace!
Grace shuts herself in her room.
Show me what's in there!
No!
Show me what's in there! Grace! You keep this up! You're gonna be just like your mother!
Leave me alone!
Open this door! Grace! You stubborn, disobedient child! You open this goddamn door right now! You're a bastard child! Did you know that? A bastard! You should have never been born! Your only father, whoever handled that! You are just as simple as your goddamn mother!
Having taken a handful of perphenazine pills, Grace flops onto the bed and closes her eyes. Morning. Bright sunlight shines through the net curtains, which ruffle in the breeze. Lying in bed, Grace stretches her arms out.
Morning, sunshine.
Brad sitting on the bed.
Brad? What are you doing here?
Came to see if you're all right. Came to visit you.
She sits up and looks at him.
I missed you.
I thought I'd be back soon, but...
Well, I guess I couldn't wait then.
Sitting on the side of the bed, he holds her hand and strokes it with his thumb.
You look great in the morning, by the way.
You think I look...
I think you look beautiful.
She looks down at her hand, holding his.
This can't be real. You can't be real.
He smiles broadly.
If I wasn't real, would I be able to do this?
He lifts her hand, leans over, and gently kisses the back of it. He leans back, looks at Grace, and smiles. He pulls back the sheet and puts his hand on her thigh.
Would I be able to do this?
What are you doing?
Trust me.
Having laid her hand on his, she removes it and lets him run his hand up between her thighs. Enraptured, Grace lies back and looks over at the mirror on the wall.
Oh my God. Ah! Brad. Brad, slow down. Brad, stop!
It's Luke.
Does it not feel good?
Grace.
Helen comes in and sees Grace with her hand inside her knickers. She quickly removes it and pulls up the covers.
My God.
Helen walks out and quickly returns holding a thick leather belt. She shuts the bedroom door.
I'm sorry.
You need to learn that what you did is wrong.
She thrashes Grace with the belt.
No! Grandma! Grandma, please!
Turn over.
Please help!
Bill! Bill! Bill!
Blackness. At dusk, Helen drives along with Grace beside her. Grace holds the torn photo of Mary in her hands. She looks at it. Helen stops the car on a verge outside a large white clapboard building.
Grace. Look at me, Grace.
Grace turns to Helen.
If you can't control yourself, how are you going to stop men from controlling you? Your mother fought with me to leave this church, and look what happened to her. She let some filthy stranger...
Stranger?
...open her up to sin.
What?
And that is what is going to happen to you.
Grace throws the torn photo on the seat.
Here's your stranger.
Luke's with a youth group.
She must understand the needs of the flesh are very real. Trials and tribulations of life, all are going to experience. But in this world, we can talk about it casually, easy. Grace! Hey, I'm so glad you came. Come on, please join the circle. Everybody, this is Grace.
Hey.
Hi, Grace. Hey, Grace.
Now, we're talking a lot about the pressures outside, but what about inside? The desires of the flesh. Now, I know it's a tough conversation, but sexual desires are real. And remember, it's not temptation that's the sin. It's how you deal with the temptation. So does anybody want to share?
Father John is there.
Grace? Anything you want to share?
No.
Okay. No pressure. But I just want you to know that whenever you do feel like sharing, this is a...
Really? Because I heard that you were pretty busy at school. I thought that you would have lots of experiences to share.
All right.
I only thought maybe she could help us avoid making the same mistakes that she did.
Okay, so...
Or the same mistakes as her mother.
Grace attacks the girl. Grace slaps the girl's face.
It's all you guys and you just like your mom!
Grace hurries to double doors, but they're locked. She goes into a side room with pictures on the wall. The glass breaks in one of the picture frames. Grace goes over and looks. It's the torn picture of Mary, but complete. The person beside Mary with their arm around her is Father John.
Father John. Oh, no.
Grace! What was that? Are you crazy?
I am crazy.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I just... You can't haul off and hit people, okay? Stop. Calm down. You're gonna be fine. I'm here for you.
Luke looks at Grace sincerely.
Do you really mean that?
Of course I do.
She reaches out to caress his face and he pulls away. He looks down.
I think you have the wrong idea.
I don't know why I did that.
Grace...
I'm sorry.
Grace!
Grace runs out into the dark. Helen starts up her car and turns the lights on.
Grace! Grace! Get in the car!
Get away from me!
Grace, get in the car! Where are you going? Stop!
Grace, I need to talk to you!
Leave me alone!
Grace runs into dark woods and makes her way through the trees. Grace slowly walks along a dark, woodland track. Grace stops in a clearing. She sees Mary, dirty and disheveled, sitting on the ground. Grace steps over dead leaves towards Mary, who appears to be digging with her hands.
It's not real.
made me filthy.
Get out of my head.
He needs to be punished.
What do you want?
He needs to be punished.
What do you want from me? What? What did he do to you?
Look what he did to me.
Just tell me what happened.
Mary springs up and attacks Grace. Grace tries to get away, but Mary claws and scratches at her. Grace scrambles through the trees. Grace manages to escape from Mary and makes her way through thick bushes and long grass towards Helen's house. The house is dark, apart from the porch light. Grace walks up to the front door, grasping the hem of her dress. Grace opens the door and walks in. She closes the door behind her and puts the security chain on. The light above the kitchen table is on. It swings. There's a dark patch on the ceiling. Grace slowly walks towards the stairs. Grace stands at the bottom of the stairs for a moment, then goes up them. Grace reaches the top of the stairs and looks down the hallway at the door to Mary's room. The light on the table flickers. There's a trail of blood along the floor. Grace walks towards Mary's room. Grace looks down at the thick trail of blood as she walks towards the room. She reaches up and pushes the door open. Inside, there are several candles burning. Three statues standing on plinths are covered in plastic. On the other side of the room, young Mary is lying back on a tabletop. Standing, Father John thrusts his body rhythmically as he has sex with her.
Grace. Mama.
Please. Help me. Please.
Mary reaches out and grabs Grace's arm. Wearing a sinister smile, Mary grips hard. Her arm envelops and becomes one with Grace's arm. Blackness creeps over Grace's vision and consumes it. Everything goes black. The lights are on in Mary's room, which appears to be as it was before. Grace slowly opens her eyes and focuses. She looks up at a child's mobile hanging from the ceiling as it slowly turns. She sits up and looks at her hands. There are splatters of blood on Grace's white socks and shoes. She gets up and goes to the closet. She reaches out and touches a pretty, lacy white dress. She runs her fingers over the material. Grace puts the dress on, pulling it up over the raw, bloody scar on her abdomen. She puts her hands through the short, lacy sleeves and pulls the dress up over her shoulders. Grace wipes the soft round pad from a powder compact over her face, which is heavily made up. She wears deep red lipstick. Her eyes are black and demonic. Grace pushes up her long, tousled hair and lets it hang loose over her shoulders. She stares into the mirror, and a devilish smile creeps across her lips. Wearing Mary's white dress, Grace walks downstairs. Helen comes in the front door. Grace stops at the bottom of the stairs and watches Helen hang her keys up.
Hello, Grandma.
Helen turns and sees her.
Grace. Oh, thank God. I've been looking everywhere for you. Why are you wearing that?
Tearful, Helen looks Grace up and down. Grace walks up and puts her hands against Helen's cheeks.
Sweet girl. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't cry.
Grace digs her thumbs deep into Helen's eyes and forces her to the floor. Grace walks through the kitchen, staring at her fingers and thumbs, which are covered in blood. She goes to the sink and washes her hands under the tap. Wearing high-heeled shoes, Grace walks along a deserted street in town. Lights are on in a closed shop. Occasional flashes of red light up clouds in the night sky. Grace walks up to the church.
Hello? Is anybody there?
She stops in the porch and looks at her reflection in the compact mirror. She opens her mouth wide. Her eyes transform from black back to their usual human state, and she looks fearful. Luke opens the church doors and comes out.
Grace, are you okay?
Can I come in, please?
Luke looks around.
Yeah. Come in.
Grace walks in past Luke and he shuts the doors.
Is Father John here?
I think he stepped out. Hey, does your grandma know you're here? She was calling earlier.
I already talked to her.
Grace, what's going on?
She told me not to come home. She said she doesn't want me anymore.
Hold on. Stop. You're fine.
I shouldn't have come here. I'm sorry.
Come on. Come sit down.
They sit in a pew.
Look, let's talk. I know that you've been under a lot of pressure recently.
I've just felt so out of place. Like I don't belong.
I think we can all feel like that from time to time. In fact, I've felt a little bit of that myself.
Well, I guess we're not that different. I mean, you know what it feels like to be alone. Don't you?
Yeah. I do.
He looks at her intensely and turns away.
It's very late. Why don't we get you home?
If I asked you something, would you be honest with me?
She touches his shoulder.
Do you think I'm beautiful?
Grace, of course... You're beautiful, but...
Would you love me if you could? God can't always fill that void.
She puts her hand onto his. He moves it onto her lap.
I cannot give you what you're looking for.
She pulls her dress up.
Don't you want me? Just once before taking the vow.
She moves his hand onto her thigh and strokes his face.
It's okay. Nobody has to know.
You don't understand.
She tries to move his hands higher between her legs.
No.
Just take me.
No, I can't.
I want you to.
Stop. I can't.
You will.
She grabs him around the throat and forces him back into the corner of the pew.
It's all right.
Devil!
Leave her!
Father John whacks Grace around the head with a silver candlestick, and everything goes black. Grace's eyes open momentarily, and she sees blurry lights above her. She's lying in a gloomy room with wooden joists running along the ceiling. Luke leans over Grace.
She's coming to.
Father John is there with another priest.
Bind her.
Grace woozily opens and closes her eyes. She's lying flat on her back. Luke binds her leg with a length of cloth. Grace's wrist is tightly bound, so she cannot move. Luke cuts the cloth with a knife. Father John looms over Grace. Grace looks up and sees Luke.
Grace. Grace, wake up.
I recommend you keep your distance.
Grace looks around the gloomy room, her vision blurred.
Awake.
Luke looks at Grace with concern. The other priest comes over to Grace.
Luke.
Grace, do not look at him. You will answer to me only.
Who are you?
I'm Bishop Michael, and I'm here to help you.
What?
Father John walks away. Grace sees that she's tied down to a wooden bench.
Why am I tied down?
Show me the mark.
Luke lifts Grace's dress, revealing the scar on her abdomen.
Luke, what are you doing? Stop it!
The raised scar is red and raw. Bishop Michael leans over and touches it. He turns to Luke and Father John with a look of concern, then leans close to Grace.
Please. Why are you doing this?
Grace, if this is in fact Grace that I'm speaking to, the symbol you possess is a mark of a dark servant, a demon.
What does that mean?
It means you're losing possession of your soul.
She looks around and squirms within her bindings.
What's going to happen to me?
Grace, the ritual you're about to experience is very dangerous. You must understand that I will do everything in my power to save you.
What are you gonna do?
He turns and picks up a vial of holy water. He dips his fingers in it.
No, please. No.
Bishop Michael sprinkles the holy water over himself and raises his hand over Grace.
I speak now directly to the evil hiding in this body. Reveal yourself.
But I am Grace.
Evil cannot hide in the house of God.
Please, just let me go. I feel better. I feel so much better.
He sprinkles the holy water and it burns her leg. Bishop Michael wipes the water away and the burns vanish. He turns to Luke.
It's not Grace that I'm hurting. Brothers, we should begin the ritual, as we've discussed.
Father John steps forward.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Father John, Bishop Michael, and Luke stand side by side at the foot of the bench.
Please.
They each hold open Bibles, and Bishop Michael makes the sign of the cross.
You're hurting me.
See the cross of the Lord. Be gone, your hostile powers, which have assaulted this servant of God and clouded her with terror. I cast you out, unclean spirit, along with every satanic power of the enemy, every apparition from hell, and all your legion, in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you, and with your spirits.
The bench Grace is on floats up in the air. John and Luke force it back down.
He himself commands you. He who cast you from the heights of heaven to the depths of hell.
No one commands me.
Satan, enemy, Satan, foe of the human race, begetter of death, depart, persecutor of the innocent, depart, for you are guilty before Almighty God. Lord, hear our prayer.
are you?
Grace's abdomen bleeds. Bishop Michael holds up a cross which glows.
In the name of the spotless lamb, I adjure you, ancient serpents, the judge of the living and the dead, by your creator, by he who has the power to consign you to darkness, that you depart post haste.
A hand bursts out of her belly.
Your soul is marked, priest. He's brought up your love.
Grace looks at Father John.
Silence!
God has forsaken you!
Silence!
Eternal suffering awaits you all!
A flashback of Father John raping Mary. He grabs a knife and stabs Grace in the belly. He stares at his shaking hand.
What have you done?
Grace closes her eyes for a moment. Furniture suddenly crashes to the floor. The priests cower fearfully. Grace looks around at them. She rips her arms and legs free of her bindings. Dark veins appear all over her skin. Grace thrusts out her hand and windows shatter. She throws Luke to the floor with her power, then pulls the knife from her belly and stabs Father John. The bench disintegrates and Grace rises to a standing position. John staggers out of the room and Bishop Michael holds up his cross.
Go! Go! Fight! The Lord brings your plans to nothing!
Grace shatters a mirror. Grace thrusts her hand towards the bishop. Shards of mirror fly at him and stab him. He falls to the floor. Grace walks through the wreckage and stamps on Bishop Michael. Wind whips through the wreckage. Grace walks out of the room, the church basement. She heads upstairs into the church and sees Father John staggering along the aisle.
You cannot run from your sins, priest.
She slowly walks towards Father John. He leans on a pew and looks back at her.
You raped her mother. Abandoned her.
Grace looks down at her bare feet as she walks.
And left a child for me to take.
She makes glass break and pews levitate.
Too long have you gone unpunished. I am your retribution.
Reaching out her right hand, she makes Father John rise into the air with his arms outstretched. She flies up and grabs the back of his head.
Do with me what you will. I go into the hands of God.
Let's see if he can't again!
She shoves his head into the font and holds it underwater. Smoke rises as the water burns Grace's hand. Father John struggles less and less and is finally still. Grace lifts her hand, which is horrifically blistered, the skin peeling off.
Devil!
Luke appears.
I command you to leave her!
You can free her, but only through.
She holds her blistered hand out. Luke, who's holding a knife, is drawn towards her by her powers. He grasps the hand that holds the knife and tries to resist. Luke drops the knife and sinks to his knees. Grace chuckles and makes the knife fly up into her hand.
Very well.
Wait, stop!
As she holds the blade against her wrist, Luke looks up at her.
Take me instead.
You get yourself willingly.
Only if you let her live.
He removes his white collar.
Her soul for priests, a worthy train.
Grace reaches out her blistered right hand and Luke grabs it. Luke's head snaps backwards, his mouth gapes as he silently screams. A rippling blackness appears to recede from Grace. As Grace stands staring at Luke, wind whips through her hair and her dress. She is no longer blistered and deformed, but a beautiful young woman again. The deathly rippling darkness passes through the back of Luke's head into him. Grace flinches and her mouth gapes. She lets go of Luke and clutches her hand to her throat. Grace sinks to her knees. Luke slams his hands on the floor and flexes his fingers. Everything is now from Luke's point of view. Grace frowns at him.
Luke?
She reaches out to him.
Are you okay?
No! Go away!
He pushes her away and she looks increasingly alarmed.
I'm sorry.
She gently grasps and caresses his outstretched hand. Grace backs away and rises to her feet. She runs off through the church. Luke tilts his head back, and his vision is replaced by an all-enveloping blackness. Sometime later, Luke sits facing a mirror. He wears long, flowing, pale cream priest's robes. An ornate silver cross stands beside the mirror. Luke calmly stares at his reflection. An altar boy.
Father, we're ready for you.
He hands Luke a long gold sash with a cross on it, his stole. Luke drapes it around his neck and over his shoulders. The altar boy goes. Luke raises his left hand and looks at his wrist. There is a large, intricate, raised scar on his wrist, similar to the scar Grace had on her abdomen. Luke touches it and lowers his hands. He stares into the mirror blankly. In the church, the congregation rises. Four altar boys walk up the aisle, the one at the front holding a tall cross. Luke follows the altar boys. On the side of a post is a small bowl of holy water. Luke dips his fingers into the holy water and steam rises, as if his fingers have been singed. Luke steps up into the pulpit, faces the congregation, and makes the sign of the cross with his hand.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray.
Blackness. Audio description by Matthew Vickers at Deluxe. Cast: Grace, Mary, Alexia Fast, Helen, Lynn Shea, Father John, Alan Dale, Jessica, Alexis Knapp, Brad, Brett Deer, Luke, Joel David Moore, Father Michael, Clark Peters. Additional cast: Sally, Madeline Arthur, Joel, Kurt Ostland, Danny, Joshua J. Ballard, Margaret, Christina Jeschlemska, Jenny, Margot Berner, Professor, John Shaw, Mrs. Baker, Maxine Miller, Dr. John Emmett Tracy, Dr. Vina Sood, Nurse, Janet Kidder, Priest, Daniel Arnold, Young Priest, Matthew McCall, Teen Stash, Michael Nunziata. Referee, Natasha Burnett. Drunk Girl, Melissa McKeith. Drunk Dude, Anthony Konechny. Backwards Hat, Mark Senior. Utility Stand-in, Crystal Mudry. Stunt Coordinator, Laura Chartrand, Chad Sain. Stunt Rigger Coordinator, Kurt Bonn. Stunt Performer, Bruce Crawford. Stunt Grace, Maya Stace Smith. Father John Stunt Double, Lloyd Cunningham. Stunt rigger, Sean McGee. Co-producer, Bailey Conway, Jesse Savath, Chris Pare. Co-executive producer, Juliana Bertuzzi, Dave Conlon, Adam Damelin. Associate producer, Rianne Cahill, Marlena Marr. Production manager, Tracy Nomura. First AD, Quincy Wheeler. Second AD, Jennifer Nelson. Script supervisor, Anika Hagen. Assistant costume design, Mackenzie Serin, Ariana Priest. Wardrobe assistant, Katina Dambasis, Melissa Nowak, Michaela Reichschaffner. Key makeup, Jenna Kushera. Key hair, Jennifer Manton. First assistant, makeup and hair, Frieda Norman. Key SPFX makeup, Tamar Uziel. SPFX makeup assistant, Tracy Lay. Frieda Norman, Sarah Still. SPFX makeup lead shop hand, Michael Nikoforek. Steadicam, Junichi Hosoi. First AC, Sterling Bancroft. Second AC, Ryan Skeet. Helmet rig designer, Sean Arden. Helmet rig fabricator, Spencer Clayton. Machinist, Rob Anderson. Octocopter aerials, Rich Cochran, Justin Henowick, Dave McDonald. Grace Demon voice male, Brian Dobson. Grace Demon voice female, Mei Wan. Music supervisor, Laura Katz. Associate producers, James Gibb, Darren Blumenthal. Engineer, mixer, Chris Spilfogel. Second engineer, Fernando Morales Francini. Music assistant, Alisa Burkett. Music business and legal executive, Charles M. Barsamian. Assistant music supervisor, Chris Picaro. Music services by Cutting Edge. Copyright 2014 Automatic Entertainment LLC, with the participation of the Province of British Columbia Production Services Tax Credit Program. The logos for Deluxe, Encore, the MPAA seal. Automatic Entertainment LLC is the author of this motion picture. For the purpose of copyright and other laws, this motion picture is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of Canada, the United States of America, and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, and/or exhibition of this motion picture may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Copyright 2014 Automatic Entertainment, LLC.